Thank you all for coming and for giving me an opportunity to say something about Advaita Acharya. So I'm going to read a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita from the Adi Lila, chapter 6, which describes the glories of Advaita Acharya. Which verse did you read this morning, Maharaj? So the same chapter?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I can repeat something that you said. So this, I'm just going to read text number 6. 12, actually, 12. Did you read 12? Jagat Mandala Advaita Mangala Guna Dham Mangala Charita Sara Mangala Yarina. Since I know hardly anything about Advaita Acharya, I thought I should read the purport. Maybe we'll hear something from Srila Prabhupada. Being reserved for all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for this world, for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Purport. Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an Acharya, or teacher. All his activities, and all the other activities of Vishnu, are auspicious. Anyone who can view the auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditioned life, become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is none different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with the impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu in his activities can bestow all good fortune directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same, because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation, or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient in the material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself, for such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered to be probably the most advanced literature that Prabhupada has given us, because it talks about how personal Krishna is. Generally, in the material world, God has a very bad reputation. And anyone who's a controller in the material world also is the object of derision, enviousness, bad names, etc. And ultimately, people think that God is something impersonal, or God is, who knows what he's like. After all, if he was a good God, if he was a nice person, why is there so much suffering? Why does a baby is born crippled? What did the poor thing do that God is so merciless that he made him crippled? And in Bhagavad Gita also, the different incarnations of Krishna speak. And there's verses in Bhagavad Gita, people may wonder, what is the nature of God? For example, in the 8th chapter, Krishna says, Sarva bhutani karmani prakriti yanti mamikam kapashe panastani kapa dao vishri jamyaham. Also, Nukundi, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature. At the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again and again. Prakritim swam avashtavya vishri jami punak punak bhuta gramami vam krishnam avasham prakritir vashat. The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will it is automatically created, manifested again and again. And under my will it is annihilated at the end. So what kind of God is this? Everyone enters into the material world with great expectations. Finally, this is going to be a nice creation. Everything's going to go smoothly. We're going to enjoy and have a good time. And then he just annihilates the whole thing. Doesn't matter if there's a little baby, there's a little deer cub, whatever. They all get annihilated. The whole thing gets destroyed. And God doesn't even shed one tear. Unremorseful. No compassion. Even an ordinary living entity, if he sees a suffering animal, even an ordinary living entity feels some compassion. But no compassion on the part of God. Just boom, you're done. It's all over. And then you enter back into the material energy again, into Mahavishnu. And then again, the whole thing is created, and everyone's enthusiastic. This time it's going to work. It's going to be great. And boom, the whole thing's over before you know it. So what kind of God is this? No compassion, apparently. Just creating a world where everyone is enthusiastic, thinking that they're going to have a good time. And then they work hard, and then suddenly everything is annihilated, and they're back to square zero again. So people wonder about the character of Krishna. And then Krishna says, Nachamantani karmani nivandandidananjaya udasinadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. All this work cannot bind me. I'm never detached. See it as though neutral. So God is completely detached from the whole thing. He's just watching it. Seeing all the living entities struggling. Seeing the living entities developing something and then annihilating everything. Even the good people get annihilated. Even the demigods who work so hard to become Brahma or Shiva or Indra, they all get annihilated and they all start all over again. The same thing again and again and again. And who's behind the whole thing? It's Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu says, Kalosmi Bharatarshiva, I am time. I have come here to destroy everyone. So at one time, before the coronavirus, they were talking about terrorism. That everyone was a potential terrorist. Someone's smiling at you, you better start running. You never know what they're thinking. Because they might kill you. And everyone was afraid that some terrorist was going to kill them. But then Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Kalosmi Shaya Krit Pravrido, time I am, and I have come here to destroy everyone. So Krishna is so sneaky. He's the number one terrorist. He comes and kills everyone imperceptibly, annihilates everyone, and they're blaming, oh, he's a terrorist. But actually, Bhagavad Gita Krishna openly says, I'm the number one terrorist. I'm going to kill everyone. And yet we worship him. So what kind of people are we? It's bad enough they think we're worshiping some aborigine coward boy who ran after ladies all the time, even when he was 8 years old. He was the head of a mafia in Vrindavan who went around stealing all the time. No one was safe. Every house was robbed by him. And he was a killer from the very beginning of his life. He killed his nurse. Then he spent the rest of the time killing the animals that came and visited him. Killed a bull. Killed a snake. Killed a calf. Killed a couple of birds too. Everything that came within his reach, he killed. Then he escaped from Vrindavan when things were getting too hot. Ran into the ocean eventually. Well, he went and killed his uncle on the way out to the ocean. Stayed in the ocean trying to protect himself, but every once in a while he'd come out and harass the people who came to visit him. So even Krishna as a coward boy has his problems. And yet, these people are worshiping him. They look innocent enough. But as one person wrote a book, it was called The Secret Sex Life of the Hare Krishna Movement. Do you know what that was about? She explained how they're celibate. That was the secret sex life of the Hare Krishna Movement. So everyone is suspicious in the eyes of those who are observing the Hare Krishna Movement. Everything about Krishna, his incarnations, the activities of his devotees, is somewhat suspicious for the materialist. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, along with his associates, the Panchatattva, and they reveal that actually Krishna is a nice person. And all his expansions are a nice person. And even we ourselves, we are also nice people. Everyone thinks they're nice. Isn't that right? If you ask anyone, are you nice? They, deep inside themselves, they think, yes, I'm a nice person. Like there was one person named, even if you're the biggest killer in the world, because no one's the biggest killer in the world except for Krishna, but anyhow, even if you're competing with Krishna, and you have some recognition for being a rogue, still you think you're a nice person. In a famous book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. He writes about Two Gun Pete. You've heard of Two Gun Pete? You've heard of him. What's that? Yeah, Two Gun Pete. Well, we'll make him more famous. We might as well glorify him in a Bhagavatam class. So Two Gun Pete, he was famous. He was associate of Al Capone. Have you heard of him? In Chicago. And he was famous because whoever he killed, he always killed with two guns. So one day he was on Lover's Lane with one of his conjugal in Madhurya Rasa, or Madhurya Arasa, however you want to look at it. And he was on Lover's Lane. Do you have that here? Do you know what Lover's Lane is? It's where people park their cars at night and when it's dark, and they perform their pastimes there. It's called Lover's Lane. So he was on Lover's Lane with one of his associates in Madhurya Rasa, performing their pastimes. And one unfortunate policeman came and he put his flashlight into the car, and Two Gun Pete took this as a great apparad and shot him. And then in order to protect his reputation, he got out of the car and shot the policeman again. Unfortunately, the other policeman didn't understand his leela. They thought that he had descended in the human form. They didn't know his transcendental activities. So they pursued him, trying to capture him or kill him, probably kill him. And there was a big fight out. There was a big fight between Tugan Pete and the policeman. And before Antialila, the end of Antialila for Tugan Pete, he wrote a letter to his mother. And he wrote in the letter, "My dear mom, I'm actually a nice person. People just misunderstand me. Please take care of the cat, Tugan Pete, Petey." So even Tugan Pete, a vicious killer, he thought he was a nice person. Because ultimately everyone's an expansion of Krishna, and the soul is nice. He just finds himself in different modes of material nature. So everything ultimately is nice. Everyone is ultimately nice. But due to our misconception, we think everything is something other than what it actually is. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates come and reveal what the actual nature of God is and his expansions. That Mahavishnu, we may conceive he's emanating so many universes, and if we did the same thing, if we could just emanate one, we emanate something, and we become so proud of it. We produce a painting, or we're able to design a building or something, and we think the whole world should surrender to us. We become a little proud sometimes. And then Mahavishnu, he expands unlimited universes. As many universes are there are mustard seeds in a bag of mustard seeds. And we think, oh, this person must be pretty proud. I mean, I'd be proud. If I could just manifest one universe, I think, well, I'm pretty powerful, aren't I? But he's emanating unlimited universes, so we question what would his nature be like. But then Advaita Acharya, who's an expansion, a plenary expansion of Mahavishnu, comes and he shows us how humble Mahavishnu actually is. How he's just working out of love for all the conditioned souls. For the unlimited number of conditioned souls, he loves every one of them, is personally trying to bring them back to the spiritual world. That he's not creating the material world out of animosity or as someone who's creating a jail and therefore is envious of the prisoners. No, he's doing everything simply out of love to help the conditioned souls go back to the spiritual world. And therefore although he's creating the universes, he's also out of compassion feeling some suffering, seeing that the conditioned souls are suffering. That therefore he's called Acharya, Paraduka Duki. He's unhappy to see the conditioned souls unhappy. And he wants to make them happy. So therefore, as we know, when he comes, he sees the suffering of the conditioned souls, and although he's God himself, but he thinks he's not able to save them, to help them. And therefore he goes to the river Ganges, and he offers Tulsi leaves and Ganges water to the Shalagam Shila, praying for Krishna to come and help the conditioned souls in this age. Because it's not just power and ability in this age that saves everyone. I can say it's actually love, the pleasure and happiness of love that's unlimitedly coming from the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, which are the inspiration for everything in Vrindavan. Everyone in Vrindavan in every rasa is inspired by the unlimited love displayed between Radha and Krishna. And although everyone has a particular relation with Krishna, that relationship is the standard relationship, how to please Krishna, by selfless love. And Advaita Acharya and all the incarnations of Krishna, who are all none different from Krishna, they all know that there's no greater standard of love than the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and therefore they pray that Krishna may come and display that pastime. And he does come. or those pastimes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brings the same Leela that Krishna, he displayed 5,000 years ago to this world as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Advaita Acharya, Mahavishnu, who created the world to allow the conditioned souls to go back to the spiritual world, he himself comes and joins those pastimes. That he himself, although as Mahavishnu, didn't get a chance really to take part in Krishna's Leela. He has no place there. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that even his incarnations come and take part in the Leela, in the pastimes of practically the same pastimes as Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Instead of the Rasa dance, we have Harinam Sankirtan. That everyone can take part in. As Prabhupada said, even a dog can take part. Even a child can take part. And the service to Krishna is there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. They're chanting Hare Krishna, which is the way of serving, because Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Radha and Krishna. And the holy name is actually Radha and Krishna. So Radha and Krishna is coming in this age. They're manifesting themselves in the Rasa Leela. And the same Rasa that's experienced in the Rasa Leela can be experienced when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are dancing and chanting to the Hare Krishna mantra. And all the associates come, and they invite us to come and join also. And Advaita Acharya, although he's Krishna himself, expansion of Krishna, plenary expansion, he comes and shows us how to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and derive the ultimate benefit. That he's God, he's the creator of the universe, but he wants to become a servant of Krishna. And we're servants of Krishna, and we come here to become God. God comes here to become a servant, and we come here to become God. That's the difference between ourselves and God. Because in that service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then that loving attitude, that exchange of love between Radha and Krishna can be experienced by every living entity, including Advaita Acharya and all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. And that's the highest pleasure that exists. Then everyone in all universes, material and spiritual, want to experience that. And our access to it is through our acharyas and our disciple succession. That we ourselves, as aspiring servants of the acharyas, we could try to understand and try to participate in that Leela that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is displaying in Kali Yuga. We could try to understand it and participate in it to the best of our ability. And therefore enter into the realm of serving the acharyas to the best of our ability. And by their mercy we gain access to the six Goswamis, and through the six Goswamis to the Panchatattva. And especially through Advaita Acharya, we gain access to the mood of Gaura and Nitai, the mood of separation from Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And just by aspiring to serve them, then we get a little taste of, by their mercy, of what it's like to feel separation from Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and therefore experience their transcendental loving exchanges ultimately to the full extent, but even if it's not to the full extent, to whatever extent we have a desire to at the present time. So they're offering their full mercy, trying to give us the means of developing the desire to get that mercy, and offering the opportunity to actually experience it ourselves, even in our conditioned state. So that one day we can become eligible, not to become God, that we become aspiring to become the servant of not only God, but all of God's expansions, including the conditions, all the living entities. Because that's the highest taste that exists. Not to become the Lord, but to become the loving servant. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Thank you for an inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask you. You mentioned that how can we make the best effort not to lose that opportunity that we are afforded. So what can we do to protect from losing the opportunity of the mercy we were afforded?
Krishna reveals himself by submission, service, submissive inquiry and service. So we should ask that question all the time. I remember one time Prabhupada, I saw Prabhupada in Boston, 1969. And Prabhupada couldn't stay at the temple because there was no room for him to stay. So he was staying outside the temple. And his servant was Purushottam at that time. And he said that when Prabhupada came to his room to lie down on his bed, he was at the head of the bed and he fell back onto the bed and rolled over and said, "I pray to Krishna every night to please protect me from Maya." So we should always be inquiring from Krishna how I can be engaged in Krishna's service and how I can be protected from Maya. Then Krishna will help us. And as soon as we think we've understood everything, I'm safe, I'm doing all right, which is what Maya will always tell us, then we're really in trouble. Then we have no idea what's going on. Thank you. Anything else? Anyone would like to take Prashanam? That's my question. Okay. Shri Advaita Charya Kijai.